What's up, fellow travelers? Welcome to Traversing the Stars. I am JD. I am super excited, man. I love having musical guests on the show, so I'm extra excited today. I've got hip-hop artist and producer Mark Brathwaite. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks, JD. Much appreciated.
Absolutely. So tell everybody about yourself.
Well, I'm a hip-hop artist, mm-hmm. producer, mixing and mastering engineer, and also an IT professional as well. I do web development. So I founded MCB Music in 2013. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've been just busy doing different shows, producing clients and things of that nature. I just put out a new album called My Season.
Yeah.
That was about, oh my gosh, I think it's already 2 months. It was October 15th.
Yeah. It's already been 2 months. We were talking off mic a little bit about that, about how like it doesn't feel like it's as late in the year as it is, but here we are.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess Steve Miller was right. Time just keeps on slipping. Awesome.
That's genius.
So is MCB, is that a label, or is that just like kind of production company doing the tell me a little bit about
It's a combination. So it's a vehicle to distribute my own music, my own productions. It's been a production company by which I'll work with other artists on their material as well.
Yeah.
So, and it's also been used to book live performances. So it's basically like a production live events company.
Nice. Okay. So you got a lot going on with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, man. Thanks.
Yeah. So, okay. So you do the producing and you do the artistic side. So like, which one do you prefer?
I would say like right now I'm really into production.
Yeah.
That's kind of where my mind is at, my heart and mind.
Yeah.
But that to say, you know, I think once I get back into live performance, because I have booked a festival for next year.
Yeah.
So those things could reverse.
Sure. You know, yeah.
Like once you're back, because it's been so long since I've done like an in-person live performance.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of like I've kind of forgotten a bit about the feeling, you know, there's so much adrenaline and there's so much excitement that goes into putting
plus, on like
live
the crowd show. Artist connection and all that. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like the past couple shows I've done, have been, basically virtual live streams. So it's very much a different feel, you know?
Yeah. Not quite the same, dude. I don't even remember the last time I've been to a live show. Like as far, like I went to a show like a couple weekends ago, but it wasn't a concert. It was like kind of, it was more like a stand-up thing. So I don't even remember. I think Kiss may have been the last band I saw live. I don't even remember.
Wow.
It's been like a year and a half. Like it's been way too long.
Yeah, like that's just reminding me too. I went to a concert. It was in a like one of those kind of community parks. It was the same company that's hiring me to do a festival next year was putting it on. So it was cool. It was like a lot of mosquitoes because it was in like probably like August or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, this is fun. There's free pizza. There's like, there's good stuff going on here.
There's perks,
But yeah, it still kind of feels like I have yet to break the ice of going back to like one of the, like a full-fledged live event other than that one.
Yeah.
So it's been a while. I can't remember. Before that, I can't remember the last one.
Yeah. So what are you doing to prep for that? Like to get ready for it, get yourself like in the right headspace.
Well, I'm thinking about like, I've already started thinking about what songs I want to do.
Sure.
So I've been thinking like do some songs off My Season, some songs off Phoenix, like mix and match some from the catalog. So it's like not one-sided.
Right.
But yeah, mentally, I feel like I'm already ready because I'm just like so excited just to go back on a stage and, yeah, it's going to be short set. It's going to be about 15-minute set, but
still,
but it's going to be nice.
15 minutes will be worth it, I bet.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be nice to, you know, network with some people and just like reconnect, you know.
It's been,
we've all been in our like own personal silos for the longest time. So it's felt like, okay, enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Like, yeah, for like, so like for my real job, like I actually was working over the summer, like work from home. And at first it was like the best thing ever. And it's like, it's not until you kind of separate from that, like the silo, like you know, you said that you realize like, oh shit, dude, I might've been like in a mild depression, like with that. Like,
yeah. It really does start to weigh on you after a while. Cause you're like, well, you know, you haven't seen your friends, you haven't seen your family. Yeah. You've just kind of been in this, well, they call them bubbles now. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I get up, I would sit in here and I'm just sitting here all day and do my job, do podcast stuff at night, and that was it. It's like, oh god, like
so it sucks, nice to weigh on you.
Yeah, it really does, man.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I was just feeling like, you know, I'm ready to see people again. And I think there's like varying degrees of it, because for myself, I just felt like, okay, I think the time has come for me to just start socializing a bit more, like be responsible, but at the same time, don't let the circumstances prevent you from
your entire life. Yeah,
exactly. I think there's something to be said there for people, you know,
definitely
just exercise some liberties, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. 100%. So I saw you got to open for Machine Gun Kelly. I don't know much of his music. I like him because I'm a rocker. So I liked him in the Motley Crue movie. So what was that like?
That was really fun. So that was like, I will say around less than a year and a half after starting the company and saying like, I'm going to be a full-fledged, you know, hip hop artist, producer. Yeah. For that to happen so quickly was kind of like a shock to my system. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to blow up like tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, I was meeting a lot of people like early on. It was really, really quite amazing. We did a show at the Ranch in Barrie, which is like known for like country music concerts. Yeah. This is like total opposite of that. And so it was me and four other guys opened up for him. And it was fun, man. Machine Gun Kelly, he's really a humble guy.
Nice.
Colson, and very, very just approachable.
Nice.
And yeah, it was packed with there's a lot of Spanish women. I've never seen so many Spanish women in Barrie in my life. I was like, this is quite interesting. Like, felt like I was in another country, you know?
Yeah.
It was really, really cool.
Yeah. Love it. I love it. So he's cool in real life then? I love
Yeah, he is.
I love asking about like, you know, household names, like whenever, like, you know, I get a chance and like finding out how they are in real life. So
yeah. He was really cool. I got to give him, I think I had two singles out at the time, On the Rise and Rain, and they were on a one disc.
Yeah.
And so I got to give him, I was selling those at the venue when we did our show, and I got to give him a copy. And, you know, you network. Because it was funny, like I hadn't met him before, but there was a duo called Bird and Keys I was working with, and we produced some music for him. And some other guys, French Montana, a bunch of people. We were on a bit of a run in terms of like producing for the mixtapes of major label artists.
Yeah.
So it was really like, it was like a dream come true to meet him in person and like actually make the connection, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But it, really, really, really good dude. The promoters were really, really good as well. Drop and, it was Drop Daniels and Jason Clareman who put on the event. They're really quite big in the Barrie scene for hip hop. So I really appreciated them for like putting me on. And like, that was like the beginning of a lot of other opportunities.
I mean, like, it kind of starts to snowball after a while, like one opportunity leads to another and just kind of goes.
Yeah. There. Yeah. So I was really grateful for that. And, here we are, man.
Yeah,
dude. You know, four albums later and you know, a couple tours and a bunch of shows and festivals and stuff. So I feel good for what I've been able to do in the music industry as an independent artist. And there's more to come.
Of course.
You know, right now I'm like really focused on this Collab Universe project to get to really promote independent artists.
Yeah.
So collabuniverse.com is the website, the landing page, and we're it's a work in progress. It's like, you know, working with other devs and to build this application to like further the careers of others.
So it's you're just taking all your skills and just like putting it all to like really good use for that.
Yeah, like just combining, because my passion's always been music.
Yeah.
I'll say, I don't want to say I fell into IT. I became interested in it and then just got more and more involved. And
right.
Like now I work for the government as a web developer. Mm-hmm. So it's like a daily practice. I'll say it's a passion as well. In a different way.
Yeah, absolutely. You're allowed to have a couple different passions.
100%. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, can you I qualify one. This as a passion? Yeah. No, I can. It's just been like about combining the two and like trying to really give back to the industry.
Yeah. Well, so, I love it because like I feel like it's like, you know, it's like we're in like the digital age, so it should be easier to find like underground artists, but like I feel like, you know, like everybody still pushes all the big names, so like a lot of the like smaller guys like don't, you know, come to the top as much. So, you know, it's really awesome that you're putting stuff together to kind of raise people up like that. I love it.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it feels good knowing that, like, obviously we're in it for, we want to make a profit. We want to build a company that like generates revenue and stuff. But more than that, there's like a drive to really like create some sparks in the music industry and like launch some careers. And I think once I've done that, I'll really feel fulfilled. Like I already feel fulfilled, but I think like to give back and grow some careers and like be the, you know, the spark for someone else's career.
Yeah.
That is like my new wave. You
know? Like, I love it, dude. That's awesome. Yeah. I absolutely love it. That is the coolest thing ever. That's awesome.
Thanks, bro.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so we talked about your new EP. I got to check it out. My season's really good.
Thanks, man. Yeah,
absolutely. Tell me about the writing process for that and how it all came together.
Oh man. So it's been different for every record.
Yeah.
So for my season, because nobody else was really involved in the process. Like for other albums, there was other people involved. But for this, it was literally just, I started with a bunch of splice samples.
Yeah.
I'm like really into samples now.
Yeah.
So I like to go on like Splice or Output and just find cool sounds and cool loops and just like put them together.
Make them into something.
Yeah, exactly. In new ways and just find something unique that really sparks my creative interest.
Yeah.
So that was the foundation of this album was just that. It was just like experimenting with these different samples, these different sounds I found in the Splice kits. And rapping over them, writing to them, just coming up with hook ideas, and melody ideas, and you know, as an instrumentalist, I grew up playing guitar and piano and stuff. Like that was the first. I started with piano and then guitar.
Yeah, I've heard it's really easy to go from like piano to most other instruments. Like if you play piano, I've heard you can pretty much play anything with a little bit of practice.
That's pretty true. Yeah, it's like a good gateway instrument to other instruments. It really helps. So I was able to like master guitar quite well after first mastering piano. That came first. So that was incorporated into this. Like, you know, guitars. Trying to think if I played much keys on here. I didn't really touch the keys for this record.
Yeah.
It was like mainly samples and then I was adding some instrumentation in the form of guitar.
Okay, cool.
So mostly electric guitar.
Love it.
There were a couple of like played samples. Like I would use the keyboard to play certain samples like on the title track on my season. So there was a little bit of kind of like just keyboard action there.
Yeah. Dude, I can attest, like, you know, like the talent to even play guitar, because I mean, I don't know if you can see in the background, I got my bass in the background. I used to play bass. I barely touch it anymore. I got like the
I saw the records. And yeah, I was admiring the records.
I got some records here. So I got.
Actually, yeah, and the Big Lebowski poster. Yeah, like, dude. That's badass. Yeah.
I love Big Lebowski.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. I love that movie too.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
I didn't see the bass.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, like, I don't know. It might be some crap in the way of it, but I couldn't see it. Got like a Dean bass back there.
That's dope. Oh, I have a Dean guitar here. Nice. That's awesome.
Love Dean. I mean, I like I said, you know, I'm a rocker. So, like, you know, at one point in time, I wanted to be, you know, in a band. It just didn't work out. You know, I think part of it, though, was honestly, I wasn't as dedicated as I should have been. Like, you know, I didn't practice as much as I should have. So I think I wanted, like, the life without having to actually earn that part of it.
Like, I want the rock star life without the practice.
Yeah. I'm like, I could be like Nikki Sixx. I'll play the bass, you know, like it'll be all good. I wasn't bad, but you know, like guitar, it was just like, no, the extra two strings just like totally screwed me up.
Yeah, I feel you, bro. It's it's intricate. There's so many levels to being an instrumentalist.
Oh yeah.
Like, you're never done, you know? Like,
yeah, you're always learning, you're always improving.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I can understand, like, okay, there's like so many levels that I want to climb and then I'll go on to something else. Like, I can totally relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So who, as far as like, you know, I guess, you know, I, like I said, I'm a rocker. I can speak in the rock language here. So like who in the rock world would you say inspired you, you know, guitar wise?
Oh my gosh. Hendrix for sure.
Obviously.
Zeppelin, yeah. Pink Floyd. You know, it's so funny because growing up, like I would say, in 1991, I want to say it was like 5 or 6, somebody like lent me Ride the Lightning and Injustice for All. Yeah. So like Metallica, that shocked my ears because like I had never heard anything like that before. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is like actually hard to listen to for me in the beginning.
Yeah.
But then after a while, I was like, this is so cool. So we started, like, my friend and I, we started learning Metallica songs, like, off Kill 'Em All and, like, Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
Just a ton of influences. Like, there's, like, it's almost limitless, but, like, Tool, who else? Pain of Salvation, Dream Theater. There's, like, a lot of progressive influences. Who else? Some of the bluesier guys like Clapton, obviously, like the Beatles, Stones. The list just goes on and on. It really does. But those are some of the ones. Of the ones I'd say. Yeah.
Well, I love it. I love it because I caught a Tool reference in one of your songs. Like, I noticed a little nod to Maynard Keenan.
Maynard Keenan. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love Maynard Keenan. I love you know. Tool is
wonderfully weird. I love that guy.
Yeah, the whole band is just so eccentric, but they're all like pieces of a puzzle that come together to form something so much bigger.
Yeah,
you know,
which I love. I mean, Zeppelin is the same way, I would say.
Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. And but yeah, I fell in love with Tool, I'd say around like, I think I first discovered them in probably like the early 2000s. They had a couple albums out already, and System of a Down, all of those guys were like doing their thing, Rage Against the Machine and stuff. I really like they have a lot of occult references. Like, I'm a big fan of the occult,
same,
just like occult literature and stuff. So they have a lot of references to, like, you know, Aleister Crowley and like just like alchemy references. And like, it's just so cool. Like, I just fell in love with their like Maynard's storytelling.
Yeah.
Like, he's so poetic and he could be so raw and so powerful too. So,
yeah.
So yeah, I was like, it's a no brainer to want to like reference him on an album. Especially like on a hip hop album too, it's like different, you know.
You don't,
like,
expect it,
No. And so like it was kind of cool for me to like be able to incorporate some guitars, incorporate some aspects of that rock that are really influenced me.
Yeah.
You know, so
I love it. I think the first time I heard them, it might have been watching Beavis and Butthead, actually. I think it was like the video for Schism came on. And I remember trying to like listen through their nonsense. Like, I'm like, this is like, it's just that bait. Like, holy shit. Like, I remember that shit just like took a hold of me, dude.
Yeah. No, it's, there's a kid. So I think King Crimson really influenced them quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like those kind of riffs and stuff they're doing. Yeah. There's a cryptic nature to Tool that really appeals to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, not just the sound, but also the imagery, like Adam.
Just the whole package.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The way they, exactly. That's exactly it. The way they put everything together.
Yeah.
You can tell they draw from like Floyd in their live shows, their light schemes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What about, are you a Radiohead fan?
Never got into them, to be honest.
Okay.
What now, my Muse? Favorite band is Motorhead. So, like,
that's where
most of my stuff, you know, Metallica, Megadeth, all that. Like, so,
yes,
I've always liked the heavier stuff, and like, I feel like Motorhead's the same way. You know, like, it's not just the music; it's also the attitude behind it.
Yes,
everything they did was purposeful, and it was all in the name of rock and roll, and very much like, you know, they were very, very vocal about that, which I very much enjoyed.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Lemmy's a legend, god and a legend. Like, of course, you know, respect where, you know, credit where credit is due. All of those guys, Dave Mustaine. We used to play on all that stuff. We used to play like we would jam on like Hangar 18 in the basement in my like right here.
Yeah.
You know, and I would learn like all those Marty Friedman solos. That's part of like how I got so good at guitar, was like really studying
the solo work.
The solo work. Yeah. Yeah. Even Kirk Hammett. Kirk Hammett's stuff is a little bit easier to tackle.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
it's not a Marty Friedman, but it's like, you know what? There's something to be said about like a catchy solo too, because Hammett solos are so catchy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's one that stick, like it's like Kiss is a good example. Like, there's the one part in Love Gun that always stuck with me. That one part where it like kicks off the solo, and like it doesn't sound hard at all, but it's like you remember it.
Yeah. And I think there's something to be said about that. Like, it's cool to have technical solos.
Yeah.
But also, like, I think they need to be melodic in nature for them to really, like, stand the test of time. So I think, like, Marty Friedman's done a great job.
Yeah.
Of, like, technical solos, but also solos that are, like, so memorable and so melodic that, like, they just stay in your mind. You're like, wow.
Yeah.
That is godly.
Yeah, yeah, I love those guys. I wouldn't want to work with Dave, but you know.
I think he's sobered up though. He's really cleaned himself up. He went through hell. Yeah, you wouldn't want to work with him in like it would be tough to work with him in like the mid 80s, you know.
Yeah.
He's like drug infused and like
on a mission. So like, I feel like it was probably interesting to be around.
Oh, for sure. He had a chip on his, from leaving Metallica, like being kicked out of Metallica. He had this like vendetta, you know,
he had this like, fuck this. I'm going to make this. This is going to work. And I'm going to blow those fuckers out of the water. That was like his whole thing.
Which is pretty epic. Like the fact, like a lot of people would have been so discouraged and would have been like, you know what? I'm done. Or like, he had the opposite reaction.
Yeah.
Like,
and you got to be inspired by that on some level.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Love those guys.
Yeah.
So getting back to your stuff here. So one of the lyrics that stuck out was from the title track, God of War, All in My Semen. That is a badass.
Yeah. You did your research, man.
I did, man. That's what I do.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm born in I'm an Aries, so that's part of why I kind of drew from like the Kratos imagery, the God of War imagery. I love learning about like just there's like so much history behind like demonology too.
Oh, yeah.
And like, you know, there are so many demons and so many, they have these things called like ends, which they're kind of like, they're basically like keys. If you want to like communicate with a demon, you know, you can go and you can find their specific end.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that like can kind of give you insight into certain things. Like some of them are good for, if you want to know about the future, then you can call on Vasigo, for example. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to learn about, let's see, debauchery, then you can call on like Belphegory. There's different, like, and so there was a period of time where like I dated a girl who was like super into like the darker, like the left hand path. Let's call it. Call her a witch or call her whatever you want. But
I'm married into a witch coven apparently, so like I'm
perfect.
Yeah, I know all about that. Some of that stuff. Yeah,
I think it's like so good to keep for people to keep an open mind, because like it's the most annoying thing is when the mainstream or the masses just condemn a thing because they don't know they don't know it in detail, they don't know anything about it, and so it's basically like they condemn it out of fear.
You know? Big time. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's part of the like inspirations for that line. It's kind of like, well, God of War, you know, like someone that's like in tune with their spiritual side and also like not afraid to communicate with some demons, you know, like, cause everybody, I think everybody has that in them, the capacity for that power, but like not everybody chooses to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
You know,
so have you ever had any kind of like weird experiences going through that? Because I mean, like, on some level, you also do have to be careful with that kind of stuff, too.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you really do. I've never like gone so deep into, I don't know, there's like people who, like, I know Mustaine was into like blood packs and stuff like that. I never got so far into that. Like, I've read like the Satanic Bible. I've read, you know, different stuff to just like give me knowledge.
Yeah.
Black Witch Coven, like just like
things
that kind of gave me a better understanding of
kind of the spiritual side of things.
The spiritual side of it. And if you're going to use it and what you would use it for. And
yeah. Like, using it correctly.
Correctly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I never like stepped over those lines because like I would never want to do anything that like puts people in danger, puts myself in danger. So, but yeah, that's a good question, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's good to do. You got to do your research. You got to like look into that stuff. And
yeah. You got to really know what you're trying to connect with.
Exactly. So yeah, it's interesting. That brings up a whole other, you're bringing a lot out of me, man. It's good.
Hey, that's what I do.
Yeah, it's good. I wrote a novel that kind of incorporates some of those ideas. Mm-hmm. But it's really, it's kind of on hold until like a publisher picks it up or a literary agent picks it up.
Cool.
But it kind of like, there's some education there in terms of like the dark arts and what people can do to access those things and like the type of effect it would have if you were to use it, is all in that novel. It's about way more than that, but it's, it touches on that stuff pretty deeply.
That's awesome, dude. So like, you said you're kind of just in a holding pattern, so you don't really know when that'll be out.
Yeah. It's tough because it's like, for me, I believe it deserves to be like a bestseller.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm not just publishing it online for free.
Yeah.
I'm
like, you want to make sure that it's done the right way.
Yeah. So I'm waiting for like a literary agent or a publisher who can like really take it to
where it needs to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Make it a NYT bestseller, you know, like really. Yeah. So the patience is like pretty unreal for that. Like, it's just like, it's just indefinite waiting. Because you go through the process of like writing And then once you're finished, you know, you go through the process and you're finished. It takes so much emotional energy just to write it. And then when you're done writing it, there's like this catharsis of like, yay, I've written my first novel manuscript. And then you like, then the next period of work comes where you have to like shop it to all of these different literary outlets, literary agents and publishers. And it's like, and there's a lot of rejection that you have to go through. And it really does take a toll. because you're like, well, I put everything I had into this, and like,
and some suit is just like, no.
For someone to just turn it down in a like a Dear John format, you're just like, oh, that hurts. But yeah, some have been like, some turned it down outright, and others were like, this is really good, can you send more of it? And then they turned it down. You know, it was like, and some of them are like still in consideration. So it's like a mix of responses. So I'm like, I'm at least happy that like I got a feel for the market, and I'm still in the running, and I'm you know, and it's always been a dream of mine to write a book too. So
I
yeah,
love
man.
I love it, dude. I can't wait. I hope you get it out like sooner than later so I can read it, man. That's exciting.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's really exciting. I'll let you know. Absolutely. You know when it's out, and just keep my fingers crossed and stay patient, you know.
Love it.
Yeah, man. These are great questions, man.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. I tried.
Really, really in depth. Yeah. I was like, I wasn't expecting anyone to like go so far to pull up like the lyrical concept, but like that. But the fact that you did that just shows how thorough you are. And it like, you can see like as soon as you brought that up, that then brought so much out of me in terms of like why I wrote that line.
Yeah.
You know, because there's just a natural like competitiveness to me, and a natural.
I totally vibe with that.
There's a warlike nature to me because Mars is my ruling planet, so I do have like, a warlike nature in certain aspects. So like that's why that line like really resonates. Yeah.
I love it. I'm a Leo, so like, and apparently I'm a textbook Leo, so like, I definitely understand. Like, because for me, it's really just about like, you know, showmanship and like loud and.
I'm dating a Leo right now, and she can be a handful. Yes.
Yeah.
they're so fun and so animated and intelligent. Like, it's really it's a good match, Aries Leo.
Yeah.
It's probably why we have such a chemistry too.
I agree Dude, honestly, you talk about the thoroughness, man. Like, the only thing that the only reason I didn't like translate some of the French stuff into English was because I didn't have time. I would have gone and like translated the whole thing, but I didn't have time.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. That makes me feel like super appreciated as an artist too, that like there are some people that will go and look at the lyrics and like see what's behind the lyrics and stuff.
Dude, that's like, for me, it's like, that's always been like a big thing. Like everything I listen to, like, so like every time, like, you know, like a bunch of top 40 stuff, like, you know, it doesn't seem to have much substance to it. I've always just kind of been like really hesitant to it, because it's like, as I'm listening to the lyrics or I'm reading the lyrics, I'm like, there's nothing here. You know, like, to me, it's like, I love to dive into like, you know, some of the meaning behind like the words. Like, the words to me are very important.
Yeah, it's huge, because it says so much about like the artist's journey. Like,
yes.
I was raised, so my parents raised me Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm.
I still have like a belief in God and all that stuff. But it's like my just worldview has evolved to incorporate so many different other aspects, so many different other faiths and ideas that it's like I'm a different person now than I was.
Yeah.
You know,
it's kind of fun 15. On that like discovery journey though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've been on you know, similar, you know, kind of discovery or whatever you want to call it. So like, I definitely relate to that.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So Tell me about, okay, so like Street Fighter, that had clearly some nostalgic feelings, a lot of video game references. So I got to ask, Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter, which one do you prefer?
Oh, man, that's hard. Oh. No, these are the, now you're asking the hard questions.
That's
now.
Right.
So tough. So tough. I have to say Street Fighter. Like, if I really? Had to say one over the... because I'll tell you why. It's like both trace back to my childhood.
Yeah.
But I just have more memories of playing Street Fighter with, like, yeah. friends. So that, like, competitiveness, that, yeah. like, one-upmanship of, yeah. like, trying to beat your friend who's, like, their favorite character is, like... Balrog and your favorite yeah. character is Ryu and you're just like, and you have a clash and it's like, yeah. there's a lot of that in my childhood memories.
Yeah.
Which is why I would like put Street Fighter first and like Mortal Kombat a very, very close second.
Okay. Okay.
I love the Mortal Kombat movies. I love, you know.
Even Annihilation?
No. Just the first one. The first one.
Annihilation is fun if you don't take it too seriously.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Street Fighter movie. It's like yeah. this was a lot of money made went into this, but somehow it's like not the greatest quality. Yeah. And like
there it was something off about it. But I will say, what is his name? Raul Julia? Dude, like he gave mm-hmm. his all to that role. Like, I think that was his last role. Bison.
Oh, yeah. Was that his last film role?
He was
oh,
dying wow. when he made that movie.
Are you kidding?
No. He was literally dying that. Of wow. cancer, and he was literally, like, he gave his life to that movie. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel bad when I said calling it low quality now.
The other side of that, though, is Jean-Claude Van Damme was on coke the entire time. And
yeah, he seemed off.
Ridiculously yeah. so. So
yeah. yeah, he seemed off. Like, it's a strange... Life is strange. Like,
yeah.
You know how we talked about the cyclicity earlier, but just yeah. how the wheel just keeps turning.
Yeah.
And I don't even there's something about that just brought back the cyclicity of life yeah. again, because it's like he was there giving his all to this role and then
couldn't have cared less. It's
just like a strange dichotomy, right? Like,
it really is.
But that's life, you know? Yeah. Life is just like that.
Yeah.
You know? It's like bizarre. Van Damme's a legend, though. I like is. Van Damme.
Yeah, you gotta love Van Damme. I mean, even when he's not perfect. I mean, Schwarzenegger's yeah. the same way. He's done some things that aren't perfect.
But yeah, exactly.
He's always entertaining. So,
but what's perfect, though? That's what I was telling this to a colleague earlier. I'm like, she's like, oh, I just want my tickets to be perfect. I'm like, well, there's not really any such thing as perfection in this world.
Yeah.
Like, we're living on we're living on this planet, but I don't know how many billions of years from now, it's like this planet will probably be gone as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, is this for a time and nothing here is like perfect.
Yeah.
Everything here is like functional, thankfully.
Mostly.
mostly functional. Yeah. I can't say 100%. But it's like, yeah, it's just... It's functional, mostly. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So when I think about that, I'm just like, well, nothing's perfect anyway. So why do I have to striving for perfection? I strive to make things as good as I can make them.
Exactly.
Always.
And you know? That's been kind of a lesson that I had a little bit of a problem with. You know, even just like with like my podcasting journey. I mean, like when I first started, it was like, I have to make everything perfect. It, like, can't have an issue there. Can't have a flaw there. There's a weird noise there. I got to cut that out. And like, so like I'd be editing and then I'm like, why am I driving myself so insane? Cause like, crazy. I would listen to like, you know, a podcast, like, you know, that inspire, you know, that, you know, I listen to that inspire me, you know, and like, I'll listen. Cause now that I'm like, you know, more into the editing part, I hear more and like, some of the things that I'm freaking out about, like the podcasts that inspired me, are they're having no issues with it. There's like, you know, there's a cough in the background. Who cares? Who
gives a shit? Yeah. Well, okay, let me tell you. I was watching Logan Paul, which is like, you know, impulsive, you know, very good podcast. So
yeah.
They say it's the number one pod, whatever. They have their own catchphrase there. And he was on some kind of a bender. Like, and so they got, I think his name's Chris. They got him to do the intro, and like, he was like conducting like the first like 30 minutes of the Jake Paul interview, because like Logan had literally just like walked on set off like some bender from the night before.
Wow.
And so if that's any indication that you can just kind of experiment with things,
maybe,
you know?
Maybe I need to go on benders more then.
maybe blow up the podcast first.
Like, yeah,
be famous, blow up the cut, get your big contracts, and then go on a bend. Yeah, so that's pretty much what he did.
Yeah, gotta do it Scarface style, you know. First,
exactly.
Oh man.
Yeah, man. But yeah, that was like an indication to me that like once you've made it, like there's a certain degree of like just liberty and freedom.
The other side of that, though, is I don't know why I'm bringing Kiss up so much, but there's a lyric that's always stuck with me in that one of their songs, "God Gave Rock and Roll to You." If you want to go far, you got to sweat, because it's never too late to work 9 to 5.
If you want, okay,
yeah,
yeah.
So like that's always been in my head with that a little bit, like it's never too late to work 9 to 5. And like I work 9 to 5 now, but it's like, you know, once I get too. Like to a point where like, you know, I'm, you know, hopefully one day a rich megastar and all that good stuff, it's never too late to go back to that. So
yeah, if you would like to, is that the idea?
No, it's like, as in like, it's never too late to have to do that.
Oh, okay,
like you may be on top of the world right now, but like don't piss it away.
Yeah, because you may end up back in that
position.
Yeah, I mean, words of wisdom from I guess Gene and Co.
Gene and Paul. Yeah, every now and then they do it right, I guess.
That's a good. It's one of those things where like you just never know. Like, I'm sure there's like a point of no return for certain people.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure once you're like a Bezos or a Musk, like the probability of you ending up in that 9 to 5 is like pretty close to zero.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you're taken care of.
It's an interesting thought, because it's like, theoretically anybody could end up back there in that situation. Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Mark, man, I appreciate this. This has been fantastic. Thanks for getting deep with me, dude. This has been phenomenal, dude. So where can everybody find you? Where can everybody find the album?
So best way to find my music is go to markbrathwaitemusic.com. You can go to the official website. Catch me on Instagram at @mcbmusic. Where else? Yeah, Spotify, Apple Music. Nice. Any of those major streaming platforms, YouTube Music.
I know it's whatever. On YouTube Music, because that's one I use. So
whatever people are comfortable using, it's going to be there on those major platforms. Nice. Tidal, take your pick.
Nice. I love it. Yeah. Mark, this has been absolutely phenomenal, dude. You got to come back at some point, man. I could talk to you all night.
Yeah, same here. I was like, I'm happy this is going on. Like, I wasn't sure how long we were going to go for, but I'm like, you know, I'm happy to really have like just this free flowing conversation.
See, that's
we touched on so many
too.
Different things.
I love that too. Yeah. 'Cause like I usually plan for about a half hour, but every now and then like you just get like we connect and it just goes on. Like it's like, holy shit, it's been about an hour.
Yeah, exactly.